I always wondered what they did in their time off. Now we know. We really have made some significant strides in law enforcement in the last year, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't appreciate also our sheriff, Matt Myers. He's been an integral part of everything we've done. So thank you, gentlemen. The improvements you've highlighted, Chief Rhoda, they are indeed welcome. I mentioned earlier that law enforcement is but one part of our public safety emphasis. We've also continued our work on fire stations. Many of you know that our firefighters and ambulance crews live in our fire stations while on duty. Unfortunately, several of our fire stations had become difficult places to live. Inadequate HVAC systems and leaking roofs meant that we had men and women living in places that were too hot, too cold, wet, or moldy. We started in 2016 with a plan to refurbish all of our stations and fix what ailed them. The majority of the work was required on stations 1, 2, and 5. I'm pleased to say that by the end of this year, we should be complete with the remaining stations. We purchased 2 drones in 2018, and following the requisite training, they are now ready for use. One has a thermal camera designed to detect hotspots or people within a building. But we've also learned it can detect individuals in a cornfield, whether they be bad guys or scared child. Later this year, we will open a public safety training facility. We've named it Evolution. This building on Verhulst Drive within the airport campus will allow us to provide better training to our personnel closer to home. This training will enhance our safety and the safety of our first responders. And we plan to make this available to neighboring communities, neighboring departments, be they volunteer township departments or those from nearby cities. They too can benefit from better training closer to home, and in the process will help us offset the cost. You know, we've talked about partnerships before, and we will again, but this is another example of our collaborative mindset. When the fire chief came to us with this idea, we realized its potential, but wanted to ensure that there was a sound business plan behind this investment. We sought out SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, and together with our fire department leadership, they created a business plan for this facility. We wanted one large enough, but not too large. One adequately equipped, but not overly so, in order that surrounding departments would find our pricing to them attractive. Working with local retirees and with neighboring departments will bring us a win for ourselves and help our neighbors at the same time. Earlier, I mentioned one of our themes was to address the large challenges of our day. As many of you know, in 2011, CSX and LNI Railroads announced a $100 million rebuild of the line that running from Louisville to Indianapolis. That rebuild is complete, and we've begun to see more frequent trains running through our city. Sometimes, however, they don't run through the city. They stop and they stay for a while. If I remember correctly, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, a nearly 2-mile-long train developed mechanical difficulties and blocked State Road 46, 5th, 8th, and 11th Streets for more than an hour just before noon. Everyone here understands the concerns and headaches that resulted. This was one large challenge which we began to address in 2016, and our response is moving along nicely. We like to say it is on track. I love that phrase. Right now, the Indiana Department of Transportation, who has ownership and management of the project, is in the land acquisition phase. They have 5 parcels of land to purchase. Of these, 4 are complete or nearly so, and 1 is in the final stages of negotiations. As happy as we are about the progress we're making, we all need to remember that NDOT does not expect to start construction until the third quarter this year, and does not expect to be finished until, at the earliest, the fourth quarter of 2020. This means that we will have for a while longer, you know, that while we have a response in the making, we will have to live with train disruptions for a while longer. But please, keep in mind these themes I've mentioned about tackling our large challenges, being opportunistic, and working in partnership with others. Our partners on the railroad project are known to all: Bartholomew County, Cummins, State of Indiana, and the railroads themselves. They all deserve a round of applause. Do we have people here who have worked on this project? I mean, I would think so. Maybe not. Nonetheless, give them a round of applause because they do deserve it. Another large challenge we've tackled is substance abuse, as the chief alluded to. Sometimes we refer to heroin, sometimes opioids, sometimes meth, but it's all covered under the general topic of substance abuse. Our progress the last 2 years is breathtaking. What began with a general commitment from the city, Bartholomew County, and Columbus Regional Health to address this issue has spawned into ASAP, the Alliance for Substance Abuse Progress, which is now a separate, standalone entity. ASAP, in turn, has fostered a community response to addiction. We've had, for some time, treatment centers and treatment programs, but these efforts were never organized, they were never coordinated. Now we have the hub, a central place where addicts, their families, and friends can turn for guidance. We have RAP and REALM, acronyms that stand for Women Recovering with a Purpose, and Recovery Enables a Life for Men. These programs will make a difference. We will soon have the Fresh Start Recovery Program, an inpatient treatment program for young women who are pregnant or who have young children. We will soon have an adult drug recovery court. Although not new to Indiana, this will be new to Bartholomew County. It starts with the premise that if you send a nonviolent offender to jail, it probably doesn't get better for him or her or for us. Nonviolent offenders who struggle with addiction will likely be better off, and our community will be better off, if they are offered supervised pathways for recovery. Jail is the last thing they need, but the only option available today. Adult drug recovery court in Bartholomew County was a vague concept 2 years ago. Today, because of ASAP, it will soon be a reality. And we have the Mark and Wendy Elwood Fund, $1 million dedicated to education and prevention. That fund has spawned over 40 separate programs or projects in our schools, churches, and youth groups, all designed to prevent this scourge from taking root. This fund came about due to the generosity of Mark and Wendy Elwood and other local private donors, all of whom, because of ASAP, understood the challenge. Our theme of tackling large challenges comes forward in another area, our riverfront. Folks, please do me a favor. Drive the 3rd Street Bridge, get in the left-hand lane, look to your left. Don't hit the car in front. Drive the Stewart Bridge, get in the left-hand lane, look to your left. Look for the dam and the erosion that is occurring on the south or west bank. What you'll see is this. For reasons no one alive today can explain, the dam is not square to the river. It's cockeyed. Because it is broken, the dam is not level. For these two reasons, you will see erosion on the south or west side of the river. Keep in mind that there is a former city landfill that starts about halfway between the bridges and continues downstream under the Stewart Bridge. This landfill is the main reason the Stewart Bridge was built with its supports in the river. The erosion I'm talking about threatens to uncover that landfill. Also, please keep in mind that the dam is dangerous. Those who go over the dam run the risk the waterfall will trap and hold them, keeping them underwater. Our project is designed to remove the dam and strengthen the banks. This will address the primary risks presented in the area. In addition, we would like to extend people trails through the area, and if allowed by other governmental agencies, build some recreational improvements. These would be incremental spends designed to turn a lemon into lemonade. Today we have people trails north of 3rd Street, and we have people trails south of 2nd, but they don't connect. We'd like to connect the two, and if possible, we'd like to add some recreational features, Other communities have reported success with kayaks and canoes. Why not us? But please keep in mind, the primary need for the project is the dangerous broken dam and the erosion. Throughout my time as mayor, I've often asked myself a simple question. 20 years from now, what will we wish we had done? Will we wish we had responded to the railroad challenge? Will we wish we had tackled substance abuse? Will we wish we had addressed the river's problems? I don't want to leave it for others. I want our legacy, yours and mine, to be that we met the big challenges of our day and we solved them. And that brings us to our latest challenge, Fair Oaks Ball. As many of you know, this building was built in the 1980s. At that time, enclosed regional shopping malls and brick-and-mortar retail establishments were growing. It was a point of pride for many communities to attract a facility such as this and the brand names that followed. My, how times have changed. And that is part of the reason we've invited you here this evening. After we announced the purchase of the mall, we were surprised to learn from a number of individuals that they'd either never been here or they hadn't been here for years. So this evening now becomes your chance to see a paradigm shift in real time. When we're done here, take a walk around. The app on my phone says it's a half mile if you take all the nooks and crannies so you can get your steps in for the day and feel good about it. You'll be struck by one thought, that the use for which this facility was designed has gone away. And new uses, not just for the building, but for the underlying real estate, need to come forward. We call this adaptive reuse. And we got a great example on Second Street. The former Republic Building is now the Indiana University Master's in Architecture program. Irwin Union Bank is now a conference center. So this is the part of life that these things come, they have their time, and then they go. And so now we're at the point where we need to find a new purpose for this facility. In late 2017, our Parks Department completed a 5-year master plan. The number one need we identified was for an indoor recreational facility. Think 40 or 50,000 square feet, which I think is about 2/3 of the facility that we have here. The second need was for indoor recreational programming. So think fitness and yoga and activities like that. Just a few notches below, down the list, was the need to make major repairs at Donner Center. Now please reflect for a moment on the choices presented. The necessary repairs and upgrades at Donner Center were expected to cost $2 to $3 million, after which the facility would have still been inadequate to address the challenges of a 21st century Parks Department. When you consider that we could be spending $3 million on 75-year-old Donner Center, it puts the $4 million that the city spent on the mall in a different light. I say only $4 million because, again, we sought partners. Columbus Regional Health took a 25% ownership, and the Heritage Fund came forward with a grant. Together, they got us from $4 million up to the purchase price of $5.9 million. CRH has several options under review for its share, including occupational therapy, physical therapy, office, and clinical space. The city plans to expand on Lincoln Park and offer new space and programming to meet what residents want today from a park system. We also plan to construct an indoor sports facility that will host soccer and softball tournaments, enhancing our already successful sports tourism program. How all this comes together, and it won't be easy, it'll be a lot of work, we'll have some few setbacks in the way, but how we do this, how we accommodate moving parks activities from Donner to here, how we accommodate sports tourism, how we accommodate CRH, and a smaller but continuing retail presence, that will all be a focus of what we do this summer. And as you've likely followed in the media, we have put together a group of community volunteers to form a design team. That team, headed by Mark Levitt, we'll interview site planners over the next several weeks, choose one, and then embark on a very public process. The community's input will be sought, similar to what we did with Envision Columbus, with a view to completing this design process this fall. It will be an exciting opportunity for all of us to envision how this real estate can once again contribute to the community for decades to come. You know, I just mentioned the word envision. And earlier tonight, I suggested that attitudes were changing. especially among millennials, about how we define a desirable community. During 2018, our community undertook an ambitious planning process called Envision Columbus. This nearly year-long effort sought and received input from several hundred citizens. It was led by citizen volunteers and financed by the Heritage Fund and a grant from the Cummins Foundation. What we learned was that while we have an outstanding community in many respects, we need to respond to changes, much as we're doing with this mall. The study has become a very strategic and comprehensive vision for Columbus. It has identified 10 or more initiatives for us to consider. In 2019, we will focus on 4. You know, when I was a kid, and later when I was a young adult, I clearly desired the suburban lifestyle. Pam and I tolerated apartment living. We couldn't wait to buy our first house, our first lawnmower, and a yard large enough to have a garden. Today's tastes, particularly among our younger adults, are different. There is a strong demand for what you might call an urban neighborhood, a walkable residential area. And by that I mean a neighborhood where one can walk to work, walk to recreation, and walk to a grocery. The study correctly pointed out that's difficult to do in Columbus. We find ourselves with a city that is well constructed, but with a suburban mindset. The times, they say, they are a-changing. To address this and other changes on the city's west side, brought about by the demise of the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center, the study recommends that we pursue projects for our broader downtown area that will bring denser housing options. Think row houses or row homes, and projects that will encourage renovation of older housing stock that already exists. In addition, we will attempt to recruit a grocery and a hotel conference center. Throughout the Envision Columbus process, we commented often that great cities just don't happen. They are the result of thoughtful planning that learns from the past, takes stock of the present, and looks to the future. Columbus has profited from excellent planning by prior generations, beginning in the 1960s and continuing through Focus 2000 and Vision 2020. I'm confident that our current effort will make a similar contribution to our collective story. Now, you know, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, and there's a lot more we could talk about. And I must admit that in my 3 years as mayor, I have learned that I love to talk about Columbus. But as you reflect on my remarks this evening, I would like for you to think back about a couple things. I hope you will note the city's focus on two perspectives with any challenge we address. One is that we look to the future, and the other is that we look for partners in everything we do. To illustrate, for the railroad overpass, we have 4 partners. For ASAP and the hub, we have 2. For the Fresh Start Recovery Program, 4 partners. For Fair Oaks Mall, 2. For the IU Architecture Program, we had a long list, more than I can remember, a long list of community partners who participated in that. But most importantly, throughout it all, we sought dependable partners. I learned years ago that the best way to attract a dependable partner was to be a dependable partner. And I've been proud to put my energy into ensuring that our city has a reputation as a trusted and dependable partner. I've truly enjoyed serving as your mayor these past 3 years and very much treasure the opportunity to build upon the tremendous legacy we have as we meet today's challenges and plan for the future. Finally, I want to offer a couple of big shout outs. This was kind of fun to put this together this evening, come out here to the mall. We set up 250 chairs so you can sort of, you know, look around and see about measure the size of the crowd. I want to thank our Parks Department. Guys, raise your hand somewhere. Maybe they all went home. Got out ahead of the snow. Yeah. Our police department for helping set up the video. Most importantly, Nancy Wagner and Pam Lennup. I want to tell you something. At City Hall, ain't nothing happening without Nancy. And at my house, ain't nothing happening without Pam. So please, let's give them all a round of applause. I also want to pass along thanks to Kroger. We asked Kroger for a little bit of help tonight, just to, you know, have something to nibble on. Told them we'd have about 200 guests. I think they added a zero. We've got plenty of food, so you're welcome to take something home. Whatever you don't take home will either go to a fire station or go to a charity. As I mentioned, several of us will be around for a while. Thanks for coming tonight and for your attention. Don't forget to take a stroll around the mall, get your steps in. Please, enjoy the evening, have a safe trip home. Thank you.